Ever feel as though God has forgotten you? It may feel like you're all alone, trying to find your way forward, or in some ways like you're walking in circles. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his biographical study on Moses. And in this next installment, he'll draw a parallel between Moses, who lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and those inevitable moments when we feel like we're doing the same. Let's resume our study in the book of Exodus. Chuck titled this message, The Desert, School of Self-Discovery.
How interesting of God to put Moses through 40 years in a desert and to turn right around and lead him to the children of Israel, who were then led to 40 years in the desert under his leadership. You thought about that? He had 40 years in the desert so that he might know how to lead the people of God in a desert. If you try to shortcut your desert, you will lead yourself into a cul-de-sac. God not only builds a desert for us, but he builds those escape routes that we think we can take, and he ends them all with cul-de-sacs. Many people spend their time going from one cul-de-sac to another cul-de-sac to another cul-de-sac, trying to get out of the desert, and they get dizzy in the process. God says, you're going to stay right where I put you until I move you. The alternative is a cul-de-sac. Moses learned what it was to share his life with his wife, to share his life with two children. And there's nothing like little children to humble those most advanced in education. It's remarkable what a PhD does with little children. Remarkable. And here is Moses with his degrees as long as his arm, changing diapers, helping them eat, feeding little children. Can you picture that? You ever seen a PhD try to feed little children? Now, they can tell you the whole scientific background of the food, how it came to be processed, why it looks like it does, and how it's digested, but they can't get the food in the mouth of the infant. It's remarkable. That's all part of the desert. In the desert, you learn to do things you never dreamed you would have to do. You learn to tolerate and live with things patiently that you never thought you would have to accept and tolerate. That's all part of the training. But best of all is the faculty. The faculty that God places in the school of the desert is incredible. There are four departments in his school. Let me give them to you. They are not occupied by men. Only as God may use men and women in that process, they are basically given by God as his elements of teaching. First, there is obscurity. When you are in the desert, you are obscure. Moses had to learn how to cope with being a nobody. He had been a somebody all of his life. Everywhere he went, the spotlight went. Every time he stood, people looked up. Every time he addressed them, people stopped talking and listened. But sheep don't do that. They just go right on their own way. Sheep, basically, are dumb, dirty creatures. And Moses worked with these sheep in obscurity. He pastored the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Isn't that humiliating? What do you do for a living, Moses? A friend from Egypt says to him as he visits. He says, I'm a shepherd. A shepherd? Do you have your own flock? No, I work for my wife's father. You work for your father-in-law? Yes. Where do you live, Moses? Well, I live with him too. You live with your father-in-law? Yes. And you drive sheep? You lead sheep? That's your work? Yes, it is. Well, what do you have to say for all your training, Moses? Nothing. All I know is this is where God wants me. Now, there are some of you that in the midst of obscurity have great struggles living with limitations. You are forced by the very nature of the desert to give up, to surrender, and to get by on the basics of life. That's God's plan in the desert. And obscurity is His first major department that you must work through. Amy Carmichael, my favorite poetess, says, "Before the winds that blow do cease, teach me to dwell within thy calm. Before the pain has passed in peace, give me, my God, to sing a psalm. Let me not lose the chance to prove the fullness of enabling love. O love of God, do this for me. Maintain a constant victory." I have news for most of you that if you do not learn to live peacefully with obscurity, you will stay in that department until you do. God has amazing ways of crushing us to the point of living where we are. In the hiding place, Corey has given her heart to the Lord and has said to the Lord that she wants God to use her in whatever way He pleases, even if it means in obscurity. And before you know it, she is taken prisoner by the Nazis along with her father, from whom she is separated, and he dies. And removed from her sister, she's all alone, dropped in this cold, damp cell in Germany. And the scene closes at the most moving moment, where she is laying in the corner, shivering, and she says, "But God, I didn't know I would have to be alone." I'll tell you, that brought tears to my eyes. That's obscurity. We can handle anything as long as there are people around to encourage. But in the desert school, God takes away people. The second department is time. Time. Turn to Acts chapter 7. 7:29. "And at this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian." Alien, that tells you of his obscurity. "Where he became the father of two sons, and after 40 years," I have that underlined because I don't want it to miss my eyesight. He came to the desert and became an alien, and 40 years later, school was out. He didn't go to the desert until he was 40. So from age 40 to 80, he was in the desert in what is considered by most the productive years of one's life. Are you between 40 and 80 and you're in the desert? Welcome aboard. That's when Moses was in the desert. It's part of his plan. God not only plans the breadth of a test, He plans the length of it. His time is just as significant as His tests. He knows when you need the desert, and He knows when you have advanced and graduated and no longer need it. It is remarkable how in the process of timing, things drop off. We're living in a day of instant things. Yesterday afternoon, you might have had a cup of instant coffee. Last week, I drove by an area that a couple of weeks before had no building on it. But now there's a building, a big warehouse there, put up with prefab sides, and it's full of things, and trucks are moving in and out. It's an instant building. We have instant automobiles that come rolling off the production line in a matter of minutes. We have instant communication systems. Plug a few wires in and you've got it all together. You can speak to a crowd. It's all there, just all ready to be plugged in. But when it comes to walking with God, there is no such thing as instant maturity. God doesn't mass produce His saints. A.W. Tozer has said, "It is doubtful that God can use any man greatly until he has hurt him deeply." And if you're in the process of being hurt deeply, praise God, you're being ready to be used. Moses was a premature activist, and he needed the time in the desert to slow down. The third department of the desert is solitude. Solitude, the profound sound of silence. You know, when I got out of my car yesterday and took that brief walk, and it was just far enough for me to know I didn't want to be there very long, I have to admit to you, as I stood there, there was no car, there was no sound, there was nothing around, and I just, for a moment, closed my mouth and listened. Solitude has an interesting sound. If you've forgotten what it sounds like, you need a trip, not to the beach. There's sounds there. You need a trip to the mountains or to the desert, where there is no one. And you need to listen. The profound sound of silence. It's remarkable. All of a sudden, you gain a sensitivity for things that you have forgotten. You suddenly find yourself deepening in thought, as well as in plan in your life. We are strangers to silence. That is why we are so quickly lonely. It's been my observation that most of the world's great people have been lonely people. Those who have been creative, who have left us a legacy of art and music, have been people of solitude and loneliness. Some of the world's greatest leaders have been people who lived lonely lives. Moses was to stand before these people and to be attacked by them, hated by them, even mutinied against. And Moses was to stand all alone. That's why he could do it. He had graduated from the department of solitude. He had learned his lessons well. He needed no one to pat him on the back. He could go right on. And then the fourth area is discomfort. Moses was there in that hard, hot place, and it was uncomfortable. I want you to notice how the process takes place in God's school of the desert. He must break through several barriers in our lives to get to the point of renovating our souls. His persistent goal is to break through to the point of the inner man. First, he finds pride, and he uses obscurity to remove the pride, removes the limelight. Then he finds us fearful of what's going to happen, and that takes time to etch that off, to remove the fear. Things aren't out of hand. They're in his hand. So he reduces our status. And then he comes to the barrier of resentment, the tyranny of bitterness. Resentment and solitude takes over. And he helps us release our rights until finally he comes to the most basic habits of living. And there he brings discomfort to change the habits so that he might renovate us from the inner man, within the inner man. V. Raymond Edmond was the president of Wheaton College a number of years, and before his death, he admitted in one of his small books, In Quietness and Confidence, an experience he had that is just super. I want to pass it on in closing. Something painful happened to me, says Dr. Edmond. This is how I met it. I was quiet for a while with the Lord, and then I wrote these words for myself. First, he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this strait place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when only he knows. Let me say, I am here, first, by God's appointment. Second, in His keeping. Third, under His training. Fourth, for His time. There are three reactions that we can have to the desert. I admit with a measure of embarrassment publicly, but I admit to the fact I have given all three responses to God at various times in my life. First, I don't need it. That's the response of pride. My neighbor needs it. Oh, my friend needs it. My wife needs it. My husband needs it. Oh, my roommate needs it. But I don't need it. The second response is, I'm tired of it. You ever said that? You say, oh, would you believe this afternoon I said that? Your answer might be, Chuck, if you only knew, I've been in the desert so long, I can't remember what the other side is like. If you don't watch it, your response is, I'm tired of it. God says back to you, there's a response I'm waiting to hear. I accept it. That's the response of maturity. Payne knocked upon my door and said that she had come to stay, and though I would not welcome her but bade her go away, she entered in. And like my own shade, she followed after me, and from her stabbing, stinging sword, no moment was I free. And then one day another knocked most gently at my door. I said, no, pain is here. There's not room for more. Then I heard his tender voice. It is I. Be not afraid. And from the day he entered in, oh, the difference he made. I don't need it, or I'm tired of it, or I accept it. Let's bow, shall we? You know, friends, every Sunday when we gather on Sunday morning for worship, we begin, I fear, in some cases by singing mockery. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I crown him Lord of all. Do you really? Or do you crown him Lord of all but the desert? Lord, I give you my life, but I'm tired of this irritation, this person, this circumstance. I feel trapped. I want relief. And if you don't bring it, I'm getting out. I want to encourage you tonight that the most precious object of God's love is His child in the desert. You mean more to Him during this time than at any other time. You're His student, and He loves you with an infinite amount of love. May I say that your desert, in a few cases here, might be that you've just never come to know Christ. And the misery and confusion of your life is nothing more than God's convicting you, bringing you to an awareness of your unbelief, pinching off all escape routes so that you would be here to hear that He loves you and He waits for you to give His Son a place in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. That was His desert. And it provided eternal life. Whatever may be the need tonight, tell the Lord you accept it. Father, move and continue to do so within the heart. Start that supernatural work that only you can do, that defies explanation and resists all denial. Bring to your family those this day who have been prompted of the Spirit. Move and minister in a very quiet and beautiful fashion in our midst.
for Jesus' sake. Amen.
This is Insight for Living. Our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll, is presenting a classic biography on Moses. And Chuck titled today's message, The Desert, School of Self-Discovery. To access all 20 sermons in Chuck's biography of Moses, just go to insight.org. And then we have a very special treat for you today. The final moments of today's Insight for Living program are devoted to those who have young children in the home, or those who have young grandchildren or young nieces or nephews. For more than 20 years, Insight for Living has reached out to families with a ministry called Paws and Tails. It might be the best-kept secret among parents and grandparents. Paws and Tails is an audio drama created for little ones. It takes place in an imaginary town called Wildwood, and using fun stories and creative music, listeners learn lessons about the love of God. As a wholesome audio drama, Paws and Tails is perfect for entertaining kids and for establishing Christian values. And it's a wonderful pre-bedtime tool as well. Recently, Chuck sat down with the creator of Paws and Tails, Dave Carl. We want to share a snippet from their conversation, and we'll follow that with a sample of what your kids will be hearing on Paws and Tails. Here's Chuck and Dave Carl.
Our hope for all who dive into this wonderful world in Wildwood is that they will understand how much God loves them in any generation, the youngest all the way up to the oldest. And that is a new thought for many people who live in fear of God or in suspicion or maybe even worse, superstition. The hope is to help them know that He's there and He loves them, cares about them.
Well, as a children's pastor, I've never had a third grader ask me about the hypostatic union. Well, maybe one, but he was a different kid. The problem that most kids have is whatever movies they've watched or books they've read, God is pretty often the scariest thing in their life.
That's right.
Or something to reject entirely is untrue. And this is perhaps one of the most insidious plans of Satan, is to train our children to be afraid of a loving God who has done everything to bring us into His arms and to redeem us. Yeah. That's a terrible, dark strategy.
Yeah, and you get older, those fears intensify. Your imagination grows.
And as things go wrong in your life, you attribute that
to sure do.
A God who's angry,
right.
And yes, that can build, and you can become, the concrete can dry on that, and you will only go to God under those circumstances when you're in desperate need.
Yeah, and you go out of fear rather than knowing there's comfort and hope and grace. There's a new one.
Yeah,
but we want people to know that when they come to this wonderful series called Paws and Tails.
Guys, look!
Yay, we're here!
Oh, look at the lake!
Whoa, turn around! You can see all the way to Wildwood!
Oh, look! A ship's leaving the bay!
The ocean looks like it just keeps going forever and ever.
I'm here! Not late! Present and accounted for! Right on time and not at all late!
It's okay, Goose. We're still waiting for Stacy.
Oh, boo! How can she just keep us waiting here like this? It shows a complete lack of respect for other people's time.
You were late.
Well, I think Stacy's what we need to focus on here.
You okay?
Yeah.
We've got to get out of this storm.
But where? There's nothing but trees for miles.
Get close. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're in a bad spot here. We need your help.
It's him! It's the grizzly!
Stacy, get behind me!
When you're wrong, learn your lesson and apply it. When you're wrong, you just got to humble pie it. When you're wrong, and we were wrong!
So you've got a tough choice, and there's nowhere to run. And you feel your heart a-pounding like a big bass drum.
Well, before you're wound up tighter than a guitar string, you just say a little prayer and then you do the right thing. Do the right thing, yeah, you know you should.
We confess he will forgive us, give us a chance to start again. Yes, if we confess, then he can bless us and cleanse our hearts within. He is faithful to forgive us.
We hope you enjoyed this little sampling of Paws and Tails. Here's how you can begin to listen. It's really simple to access any or all of the more than 70 programs. Just go to pawsandtails.org. You can stream the audio files and information from this website. Again, it's pawsandtails.org. And Tails, of course, is spelled T-A-L-E-S. Paws and Tails is a ministry provided by Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. So what are you waiting for? Introduce your family to the fun in Wildwood by going to pawsandtails.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues our biography on Moses, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Desert, School of Self-Discovery, was copyrighted in 1975, 1978, 1981, 1985, 1998, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.